Good morning, everyone.
How's everyone doing this morning? I forgot to change my little title. So I'll just say what it is.
Today, we're in chapter 10 in John. I labeled it Christ the Good Shepherd. And I'll start with him. Again, we're still in the temple area. I think that maybe if I had to pick a spot, maybe it would be the Sheep Gate, which was over to the side here, towards the pools, not the Pool of Salami like we were talking about the other day. But Bethesda, Pool of Bethesda. It's over on the right side of this picture here. You see a little path that kind of leads over to the right. That path goes to the Sheep Gate. So it'd be like up in the right top corner of the Temple Mount area. But maybe that's maybe what he was when he was given, he was talking to the Jews. Doesn't really say in the scriptures there. Start with a prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time to look into your word and to learn something new and exciting, and that you help us to see what you want us to see today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we're in John 10, 1. Now I'll just start off. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Lots of, plenty of sermons in the past, these verses in this chapter. And I'm just going to skim over a few things I've always remembered about them. But that, verse 2 here, he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. And to him, and the sheep hear thy his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. Okay, so this brought up a couple of memories that I always love to think about when it comes to particularly the door. Now we'll get to that in a second. And also the, actually no, I can do it right here. It's in Revelations 4:1. And after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. So there's the door, and I think in verse 3 here, it's got a couple of different meanings. The door is the only way to Christ, and that the door is... reference to the rapture, as we see in Revelation 4:1. In John 20:15, this has to do with the voice. And I truly believe that, like we'll see here in a bit, that a bunch of different meanings here. We'll do the voice here since the verses I got next. If you remember when Mary was in the garden after the crucifixion and she was going to the and she was looking for Jesus, and he was gone. And she turned around and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus. But she didn't recognize him. And this is her what she says. And Jesus said unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. There's a lot of speculations about why. It seems like after the resurrection, nobody could identify Jesus. But as soon as they spoke or did something else, then they recognized who he was. And hearing John, the next verse, Jesus said unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is the same master. So she recognized his voice. And there's a great analogy of when he calls, we'll know him. If you've been watching the Chosen series, one of my favorite parts about the first episode is that Jesus is talking to Mary Magdalene, and that, the same one right here, and that she the name of the episode is called then that she knew I know you by your I know your name, and some believe that as we'll see here in Revelations. Or one I just read, Revelation 4, where it says that the door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, saying, "Come up hither." And I'd like to believe, as a few other places, that we're actually going to hear our name, I think, when it happens. That'll be the call to come up to heaven during the rapture. Let's see, there's so many great verses for this. Revelation 17 about hearing. He that hath an ear, let him hear, saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth. And over in John 11:43, we got the story of Lazarus, which we'll be talking about here. Next week, we'll see that Jesus called to him and says, "Lazarus, come forth." This is when he rose him from the dead. And I love some of the analogies of this particular verse. If he didn't say his name, that everybody would have came up out of the grave. So it was in a graveyard that this where they were at. And then another favorite verse over here in 3 Thessalonians 4:16, and here we get Jesus is calling. Another verse that Paul wrote, referencing the rapture. God himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And of course, that goes on to say that we who are alive and remain will also be will meet him in the air. That then which we are alive and remain should be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's all great verses based on that one verse about the door and the good shepherd will recognize his voice. So on to John 10:4. When he had put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yeah, we get another verse here in John 10:5 that mentions and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. And I picked up an interesting verse in this about false teachers. I think this is as a true Christian, somehow we get that we hear something that just doesn't sound right from us. We think that that person's a Bible believing Christian. It doesn't sound right. That's kind of a hint that possibly what we're hearing is not found in the Word of God. And we see this over in 2 Corinthians 11:13, particularly the foretold about this time frame. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no model, for Satan himself is transferred into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. This is basically Paul referencing the fact that about false teachers and anyone and any disciples of that false teacher. They may lure you away with things that sound like it's correct, but somehow it just doesn't quite fit. It doesn't sound like it came from our Lord. So that's when it's important to turn to the Word of God and search it out. As it says in Acts 17:11, to search the scriptures daily to see if it's correct. Now back to John 10:6. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things which he spake unto them. talking about the Good Shepherd, commenting on. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I already showed you the Revelation prince. I had put it there, actually, about the door opening. Great little story. I remember I had a vision one time. I don't forget it. I was lying in bed awake. I'd been had a lot of things on my mind. It was kind of a low point. And 5 years ago almost, and I was having a lot of problems with my heart. And I remember this strange, overwhelming feeling like the rapture was imminent. I did see this door kind of open up in the corner of the room. And it surprised me at first. I really felt like the rapture was happening. It was that strong a feeling. And it was only a couple of seconds. But I got the overwhelming feeling that the Lord had said, not to worry, I got you, you're mine, and that don't worry. Almost very comforting. So it was something I always remember. And that's why whenever I see the door, I think about that. Back to John 10:8, and that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but their sheep did not hear them. This is referencing that when the false teachers come, it somehow it just doesn't sound right. You know? So it kind of sticks up, the hair on the back of our neck sticks up. They say, something doesn't sound right about that. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And that's, of course, this brings me to the famous verses we hear all the time. One of the favorites of mine, in John, it's from 14:6. And of course, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And it's a favorite verse to remember that there's only one way to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. So no matter what anyone says, come back to this verse. John 10:10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Amen to that. That's referencing the fact that he's going to be dying on the cross shortly to take our to pay the penalty for our sins. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scattered the sheep. Another great verse on this subject, kind of describing who this is. It's basically what a lot of us refer to as the Antichrist. It's in Zechariah we see this. Zechariah 11:15 through 17. And here we read, Lord said unto me, take unto thee yet the instruments of the foolish shepherd. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. So seeing Zechariah is kind of a foretelling of what the Antichrist may look like. And some of this kind of identifies with sometime during his reign here on earth, during the 7-year tribulation. He's going to get injured. This is kind of a foretelling of how he may look after the injury. It's one way of trying to identify him as being the false shepherd. So John 10:13. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Again, this is kind of referencing. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. It's a great verse. I never noticed it before, but it's actually talking about the relationship between the Jews and the Gentiles, and it includes both of us. And another great place to see that, Ephesians. And I thought I'd read it a little bit from Ephesians 2:11 through 19. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Whenever you see circumcision and uncircumcision in the Bible, it's referring to the Jews and the Gentiles. Because Jews were required to be circumcised, that's how the Bible sometimes references them. And at that time frame, Gentiles were uncircumcised. So that kind of references Gentiles. I know it's kind of male-oriented, but that's how they kind of identify it sometimes. It includes the ladies, too, and we know that that has nothing to do with ladies. Verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye know sometimes we're far off and made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. This is there was a big division in the early days, and this is Paul talking, where he's trying to convince the Jews that to welcome in the Gentiles also, and that we're one group under Christ. Having abolished in his flesh the enemy, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make it himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy thereby. And came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were nigh. For though him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So again, this is talking about the fact that the Jews and Gentiles were one body under Christ, for those that believe. But also we ought to make note of, if you remember back in verse 16, John, there it says, it mentions the one shepherd, one fold, one shepherd. And I found a couple of references for the one shepherd I thought I would mention. One's over in Isaiah 40:11. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. Great, great picture message there when one goes astray, he'll leave the 99 and actually go off and try to bring back that one that strays off. It's a great promise to remember. And also over in Ezekiel, we see a similar verse. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. This part in Ezekiel is actually talking about the Millennium Kingdom, where they re-establish the temple. And some believe it's kind of interesting that David is actually going to be involved in that time frame. We're not exactly sure how, but he's going to be prominent in that during the Millennium Kingdom in the temple. If you read that part in Ezekiel, it goes on to talk a little bit more about that area. Kind of interesting chapter in Ezekiel 34. You want to go look, read on your own. And over in Hebrews, we also see it. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. And then for those of us that, that look forward to his coming, and that we're looking forward to the crowns we're going to get, over in 1 Peter 2:25, he also talks about being the good shepherd. And for ye were as sheep gone astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And it's just looking forward to the future kingdom. But another place that lots of great passages about the great shepherd. Like I said, probably thousands of sermons have been written on these passages. Back to John 10:17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. This again is Jesus talking. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down for myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it up. The commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division there, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? And this goes back to the Jews again. Some were deceived and some were not when it came to who he was. But the other place that I'm going to reference when it talks about this is actually a famous psalm that we all have heard probably many times, the 23rd Psalm. I'm just going to read it. It's real short. And it talks about this. David wrote it. And the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Great short psalm that just explains so well exactly our relationship with the Lord, what he does for us. So I thought I'd pretty much end. So in verse 10, 21 in John, others said, those are not the words of him that had the devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? So again, we saw that there was quite a division between the Jews as to who Jesus was. And I think that's why Jesus kind of talked about him as the good shepherd. And that we know him because we know him by his voice, and that we can recognize him. Some will, some won't. And today, we still see that. It's really changed. Some seem to fully understand who he is, and some are don't understand. And it's unfortunate, but even Jesus knows that going right up to the last day, he keeps hoping that everyone will be saved, but he knows that it's not possible. So on that note, we'll end that for today. We'll continue in chapter 10 Monday. Today's Friday, and that just to mention that they're having a men's breakfast tomorrow morning at the church. I hear Kevin's cooking, and it sounds like it'll be a great time to have a little devotional for the men. I think it was about 8 o'clock, if I remember correctly. To check the schedule. And then Sunday, of course, Sunday school at 9 a.m., worship service at 10 and evening service at 5. Continuing with some of the studies that Pastor Silcott has been going through. So I'll look forward to that, and we'll see you all then. And I will talk to you again on Monday. Have a great day. Oh, let me end with a word of prayer first, actually. Dear Heavenly Father, yes, Lord, we know that you are the great shepherd, and I so enjoy following you, and that I will continue to follow you, and that And I know that you protect me and give me comfort as we go through this journey of life. And looking forward to that day that we are all together and worshiping you in spirit and truth, as it says. But Lord, I do look for that door, and it look forward to that day that that door opens and that we get to be with you forever. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So we'll see y'all Monday.